On September 24th, just a few months ago, westbound traffic on many Chicago streets actually came to a standstill. Between 6:40 and 6:50 p.m. on that Monday evening, drivers were snapping pictures over the top of dashboards and leaning out with their cell phones in hands leaned out of the window, and pedestrians were even setting up tripods in the middle of busy roadways, all so that they could capture this incredible image of a burnt orange sun setting, exquisitely framed by a canyon of skyscrapers. There it is. The sun setting is exactly the due west position. If you've been downtown in either the fall equinox or the spring equinox, you may have seen this. And it lines up with the westbound streets in Chicago. It happens in many cities, actually, but in Chicago it's unique because of where we are, latitude and longitude-wise. It falls exactly on the fall and spring equinox. So it's become known, you may have read about it, as Chicagohenge, taking the last part of the name of the famous Stonehenge in England, that monument of massive rocks that scientists think was built perhaps even 4,000 years ago by early astronomers. So as much as modern technology and battery-operated flashlights and electricity may have changed our world, and as much as modern transportation and the fast pace of our lives causes us to miss often what is right in front of us every single day, there are still moments when we will stop what we're doing and wait to see the light shining in the sky on a September evening. There's some people waiting to see the light. They were all over the streets there doing that, and a few photographers caught it. So here we are in the deepest days of December. You may have heard the question, are you ready for Christmas yet? I don't know what your answer is today. Somebody asked me that, and I said, no, I'm not ready. Here we are in the deepest days of December, waiting in this season of Advent, preparing to see another kind of light. The light that shines in the darkness, and the promise that the darkness will not overcome it. It's kind of a cruel trick of nature, actually, in the Northern Hemisphere that nature plays on us, that the season of light falls in actually the darkest time of the year. So after the fall equinox, of course, we see less and less of the light, and the nights get longer and the days are shorter. And some of us feel this in our spirit. The holidays, this time of year, remind us of loved ones that are no longer with us, or perhaps of family conflict that arises to the surface, or maybe our own deep loneliness. Some of us feel this in our bodies. Seasonal affective disorder is a real thing, right? And some of you perhaps suffer from that, which is why so many of us were glad to see that sunshine on Wednesday and Thursday. Wasn't that beautiful? But we won't be expecting in Chicago any warmth from the sun anytime soon, right? Which is why we put up lights and light candles and do anything we can to shine light in the darkness. By the way, there is hard scientific evidence that the lights and holiday decorations do actually encourage a spike in the feel-good hormone dopamine. Thanks be to God for that, right? So way back in the 8th century, Isaiah had this vision of light and hope and peace that we just heard read. It was one of the darkest times in the nation of Israel. And the prophet was in conflict, as prophets are called to be by their very name, with the kings of Judah. This nation of Assyria, which was a military power and a political power, was about to crush this nation of Israel. And the prophet was plainly fed up with his own kings. And as one writer said, the pathetic attempts at leadership witnessed from the king and his court at Jerusalem. So Isaiah had a vision and a dream of something better, something far beyond what was going on right in front of him. He dreamed of what you may have heard, and the artist calls, a peaceable kingdom, where lambs and wolves would lie down together. A time when the light would shine as never before, a time when peace would prevail. In other parts of Isaiah, we read of this vision that God would beat swords into plowshares, a time when people walking in darkness would see a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness would have a light dawn on them. If this seems like just some beautiful words, some poetry put together to you, you would not be alone. We are surrounded always at Christmas by words and images and songs and expectations and catalogs and emails and wish lists and to-do lists and Christmas card photos of beautiful families, right? We are surrounded by dreams of everything that could be, especially this time of year. If only we could figure out the magic pill, the right diet, the best recipes, right, that look like the magazine photos, the cajoling maybe to get that dear uncle to not drink so much on Christmas Eve, the finest Christmas tree, the right way to connect with the estranged family member. The expectations are high. The list goes on and on of the things we could do, right, to make our Christmas merry and bright. But Isaiah's vision is about what God will do. It's about the promises that God has made to us, to you and me, and to our world. It's about the fact that God will make a way in our lives, in the world where there seems to be no way. It's about the fact that God will shine light in the darkest and deepest night, that God will take the violence in our world and make peace. God will take our shame and give us pride instead. God will turn our despair into joy. God will take our anxiety and our sleepless nights and give us rest. And it's about the fact that God will come to us, as was promised to Joseph, in the form of a tiny baby, the most vulnerable of all human beings. And God will be with us. But how, we may ask as we look around, how will this happen? We need more than a promise, our head says. We ache for more than words, our heart says. This sounds great, but we see pictures and hear stories in the news, and we wonder if God is really at work in the world like we've been told, a world where there's so much hurting and violence and war. We wonder, perhaps, when we see pictures like the next one there that's coming. There we go. We wonder as we look at what is happening in our world. I don't know if you saw this picture. There were some, I read a news article just this week about some families in Juarez, Mexico, waiting for an appointment with the U.S. immigration officials to request asylum. And do you know what the name of the father is there in that picture? Jesus. And his pregnant wife, Mariana. And they're caring for their daughter there. We wonder, as we look for the light in our world, in our own hearts, in our own lives, when Isaiah's vision will be made plain. How long, O Lord? When will we see the lamb and the lion lying down together? When will we see families who have enough to eat and a place to live? When will we see Republicans and Democrats making peace, right? When will we see our own nation healed and unified? When will we see the pain and the sadness in our own lives or in the lives of friends and family healed and redeemed and come to an end? Isaiah wondered the same thing, surely. But in spite of his doubt, in spite of all the darkness in the world around him, in spite of wars and rumors of wars, in the face of the inaction and corruption of kings, he proclaimed a vision where peace would turn the world upside down and the light would overcome all the darkness. I got a text from a dear friend yesterday who's been going through fertility treatments. They have found out yesterday that the last treatment, which used the last harvested embryo, was unsuccessful. And she wrote in her text, "My husband is sad, and I am angry at God. It's not fair." And I wrote back to her, "It is not fair. You are in a very hard place. And I do not believe that God wants you to suffer. Your pain and your sadness break God's heart, in fact. I also don't have any easy answers. but I do know that God will not leave you or forsake you, and that God is with you. And then I shared the Bible verse that we had shared together. Some of you were here yesterday when we put Valerie Austin Johnson to rest, at last in the arms of Jesus. And we shared a little bit about how our sister Valerie has walked over this past year living with cancer and struggling with that, and how her body finally needed to be at rest. But as I was visiting her over these past few months, we would read together and say these words from Isaiah 43 together as a reminder that God was with her. Do not fear, the scripture says. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through fire, I will not let you be burned. Friends, our theme for Advent is Be the Light. It's taken from a quote that you may have seen on a bumper sticker, maybe even. Be the change that you want to see in the world. It's actually, some people say it came from Gandhi, but it didn't exactly come from Gandhi. Be careful what you read on the internet, right? I think Abraham Lincoln said that. Be careful what you read on the internet. But in Matthew 5, Jesus says to his followers, you are the light of the world. God will do God's part. But we too are needed, aren't we? Not to make Christmas merry and bright, but to shine out the light of peace and hope and joy and love in the deepest night, to make the phone calls to those who need to hear from us this season, to write our politicians maybe and to tell them how we feel if we're disgruntled, to support a friend struggling with illness, to buy the gifts for that family that cannot afford it, to pray and work for a world where peace prevails over everything, where peace triumphs over war, peace reigns on earth as it does in heaven. We are called to not only see the light, but to be the light. On Christmas Eve, after the longest night of the year, which is around December 21, 22, and from there on out, our hope is that it will get lighter and lighter. But on Christmas Eve, in the deepest darkness of December, we'll stop and look for the light. By then, if the Christmas list isn't finished, it's not going to get done, is it? Maybe some of you will go home and wrap presents after the service, but we'll need to let some of it go. By then, all the plans will have been made, the gifts bought and wrapped, the families here or there. By then, the hopes and fears of all the years will be gathered up on that evening in our hearts. By then, another December will almost have come and gone. But for a moment, we'll stop, and the Christ candle here in the center of the Advent wreath will be lit, and we'll remind ourselves again of those words of Scripture, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And if we look closely on that night, we'll see the light reflecting in every face in this room, in the candlelight of Christmas Eve, and in the spirit of love. And we'll know that God is here. God is with us, that God will not leave us or forsake us, and that the light of Christ is shining in us, deep in the crevices and cracks of our own hearts. So be the light. See the light. Be the light the world needs. Be the light your family needs. Be the light your friends and coworkers need this season. And see the light and receive it into your heart for your own sake and for the sake of all of the world. Amen.